Serious Rap Shit is a production of iHeartRadio.
Me and my friend take this rap shit seriously.
Yo, my mic sounds nice. The levels sound right. Episode 150, Serious Rap Shit Podcast. I'm John, your host.
I'm Josh, your other host.
And yeah, we rocking in the free world. How you doing, Josh?
I'm good, bro. This is 150 episodes, yeah.
That's a lot of fucking... We haven't, outside of commit crimes and lie, we haven't done 150 things consistently. You know, I don't know, since I don't know when.
Me neither, dog. That's 150 things, a collection of things is a lot, yeah.
That's crazy.
It's a commitment.
Yeah, like I'm really like proud of us and elated that we did this shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's been interesting. It feels good that we, you know, trooped through this whole lockdown thing and pandemic, because usually we record this, you and I, in a room, and we're hanging out and we're talking. Now we have to do it remotely. I haven't seen really, if anything, it seems like our conversations on the show are sharper and more concise.
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah.
It feels like the show flows quicker for me. Since we've been doing it.
I think part of that comes down to like when we're together in the same spot, I think it you know, we also would spend like 2 hours watching like Parking Wars or
right.
Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey. Right. before we record.
Like, yo, let's watch a movie before we do this shit. Or like, so, you come in and I just started something.
Yeah, and so then we just sit there and watch that for hours before we actually record. So then like, I think the concept of time, I think like this, that's one thing, is like now, like as we're recording, both of us are like staring at a clock the whole time because we're staring at the screen going, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because even when we used to record, like, your computer was to the side of us. So we would be, like, looking at each other, not, like, looking directly at the screen of your computer.
Yeah, we would just legitimately be, like, just having a conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, like, even though we're having a conversation, looking at each other, we're looking at a computer, and in my left eye, it's right there how much time is going past as we're looking. So I think we're more conscious of time.
Yeah, it's been interesting. I notice when like I gotta talk to somebody, I'll be like, "Oh, you want to do Zoom?" And motherfuckers are like, "Nah, just call me." You know what I mean? I've gotten so used to just doing like Zoom or Skype. You know what I mean? It's like part of my thing that I ask people now on how they might want to, you know, hook up and chat. You know, it's interesting.
Yeah, it is completely changed, like, perspective on a lot. Like, how we do any kind of... Like, even just, like, when we're talking about, like, setting up interviews for future guests for the podcast, it's like, all right, well, let's schedule it this way because we have to do... And, like, you just have to be conscious of shit that you didn't necessarily used to be conscious of. Like... Yo, if we're going to do a Zoom interview, I guess I got to be fucking clothed, I guess, because, you know what I mean?
Put a shirt on.
Yeah. I can't just do this over the phone where, like, you know, I could be laid in my bed asshole naked. Like, you know what I mean?
It's interesting when we do All Songs Considered for NPR, the host, Robin, he doesn't do any, like, video on the Zoom call. So none of us do... video for the Zoom call. I legit will be like on a call with NPR and be like laying in my bed talking about a record, or like eating food or some shit and talking about a record. But yeah, any other time it's like you gotta be, you know, kind of like put together.
Yeah, I feel bad too because I don't have like, you know, I don't have a green screen to throw behind me to like set up like a, you know, a really cool background.
Right, dog. I be seeing motherfuckers. I was on Call Out Culture podcast. Uh-huh. Shout out to them. And yeah, them cats had like, it'd be like Ray and Ghost or somebody like behind them. They had like backgrounds and shit. I'm like, I see y'all. You know what I mean? My yeah. shit, you finna get the wall behind you, and that's it.
Yeah, you know, dog. Like my computer is set up, so it's like essentially you get like the wood paneling of the basement and like yeah. my American Indian Movement flag that's hanging behind me, and that's it.
Yeah, sometimes I like to go out on the deck and like just be outside.
Do it from outside. And yeah. do it.
You know what I mean? But yeah, generally it's this bland ass wall that's behind me with, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Dog, you know what I had the other day? Well, so my daughter, you know, my oldest daughter's working. Mm-hmm. She has her first job and shit. And she stays ordering food. Like,
ooh.
I'll just be sitting down in the living room and, like, she'll come out of her room for one of the three times she ever comes out of her room if she's here. And, like, she'll go to the front door. And I'm yeah. like, what's up? And she's like, oh, no, I'm getting my food. And, like, it's always, like, shitty ass like fast food shit. It's not even like she's ordering like through Grubhub, like some from like some nice restaurant yeah. or some shit,
like caviar, you get like some good shit.
Yeah, no, nah, she's ordering from like fast food spots all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so she like she ordered a 10 piece McNugget meal from Burger from McDonald's the other day, and I'm like, you know what, I ain't had a fucking chicken nugget. And I don't know how long.
Right.
Like, right. I mean, literally, I can't even think how long it's been since I had a fucking chicken nugget.
It's like you become an adult and they phase out of your
yeah.
your food vocabulary.
Yeah. I really, I don't eat that shit no more. Right. I try not to eat fast food like that if I can avoid it anyway. Even when, like, Burger King came out with the Impossible Whopper or whatever, so I would eat those mm-hmm. every once in a while. Because I'm like, oh, like, you know what I mean? Like, I'll eat the plant-based one. But, like, even that kind of just was like, it's still just, like, fast food shit. I don't want it.
Right.
So she had the McNuggets, and I'm like, you know what? Let me try one of the McNuggets. I ain't had a fucking McNugget in forever.
Mm-hmm.
So I bit into that shit. Let me tell y'all something. I know a lot of people be like, yo, I can't eat like plant-based like chicken fingers or some shit like that because that shit tastes weird, blah blah blah, blah. It don't have like the firmness of chicken.
Right.
If y'all out here eating chicken nuggets, you can eat the plant-based chicken fingers, dog.
Y'all can eat a chicken finger made out of fucking soybean.
Yeah, it's the same consistency. Them shits is like so gummy mm-hmm. and like mushy in the middle. Like, I will say, like, if you order some chicken fingers from somewhere, like an actual like breast piece of chicken they cut up in bread and all that kind of shit.
Mm-hmm.
That actually tastes like something. Like, you right, know what I mean? Right. If you out here putting fucking chicken nuggets in your body,
mm-hmm.
you might as well go eat the shit so it don't got the whatever they, you know,
the mush, cancer in it.
Yeah, whatever they mush together to make Jeez. That chicken nugget, dog. Like,
y'all niggas eating fish fillets. Come on, man. Y'all eat pork and fish fillets? I don't want to hear nothing you got to say about nothing that's vegan. And I don't even love a lot of vegan shit. I eat a lot of vegan shit, you know what I mean, in my life. But, I do eat chicken and fish.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I eat real chicken and, you know what I mean? Like, I don't eat, like, McDonald's shit. Like,
nah. When I was pescatarian for a while, I couldn't do the like fast food fish. Like the idea of fast food fish in my head was just like, it just don't work. Like it mm-hmm. didn't, the math didn't add up. And I was just like,
yeah,
I don't know. Cause I like, first of all, I don't like I like my fish like fresh. Like, you know mm-hmm. what I mean? I don't want to like, I'm not into like buying, like the bag of salmon, like that they have.
Right.
Like, I don't like buying that. If I'm gonna buy salmon, I'll just buy like the fresh cut salmon. I'll then mm-hmm. get that, take it back to the crib, cook it within like a day or so.
Right.
So, like, the idea of something that was just like a freeze fry, like a flash frozen piece of fish that you're then just gonna drop in a fryer mm-hmm. and I'm gonna eat, dog, that shit, nah, I'm good, yo.
Are fish fillets supposed to be cod? Like, what actual fish are they?
I mean, like, yeah, you know, whatever. The same fish that the same piece of the fish, the same piece of the chicken that they use to make chicken nuggets, they use it from the fish to make fucking fish fillets.
That shit is like the Simpsons joint with the three eyes.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
that shit, man.
Then they put like cheese and shit on it. Like, yo, cheese and fish don't even go together. Like,
yeah, yo. And like, sometimes I have an adventurous palate.
Yeah.
Y'all niggas taking a slice of American cheese. That's like big, dumb kid shit. Like, yeah, you take a slice of American cheese and put it on a fried piece of fish fillet. You eat that shit? Nah.
Oh, God. I mean, not I know. Happening. Listen, we're not going to ever get that McDonald's endorsement we was reaching for, but, you know, it is what it is.
McDonald's, listen, their rep is listening to this right now. Like, man, fuck these guys.
But, like, first of all, the cheese that they use on shit anyway looks like, you know, like you buy, like, the individual slices of American cheese and a wrap. Mm-hmm. It looks like they just left the wrapper on and just fucking threw that cheese on there in the first place.
It looks like they never took off the plastic.
Yeah, so, like, dog, then you put, like, yo, watch an episode of Chopped or, like, American, like, Kitchen Nightmares or whatever. Like, mm-hmm. Those shows will tell you don't mix fish and cheese. Like, that's not a combination, like, palate-wise, that's good, like, a good combination.
Right.
Like, I think it was literally like, yo, we just bought, like, all these, like, individual slices of cheese in the 80s. We just gonna start throwing this cheese on everything.
When McDonald's hit the 1 billion sold,
yeah,
it was like, nigga, we gonna invest all that shit in cheese slices.
Yeah.
And then by like 1993, they were like, what are we doing with all of these?
We got a lot of cheese.
Put them on fish fillet.
Yeah. So start that and some like really old tartar sauce. Like, you know what I mean? Right. We just gonna throw that on there too. Dude, I don't know, man. Like, I know I've heard some people say, like, fast food is something I never worked. Like, I never worked fast food.
Mm-hmm.
Out of, like, the 150 jobs I did have in my life, it was not one of the jobs I had.
Yeah.
I've heard, like, their standards are pretty high at McDonald's.
Really?
As far as, like, keeping shit the way it's supposed to be. Huh. Like, I've heard there's a better chance of, like, the restaurant, the five-star restaurant that you enjoy going to, like, their standards in their kitchen could be worse than the standards in a McDonald's kitchen.
Wow. That's interesting.
Which, I don't know, man. Like, one of them's not using fucking, like 16-year-olds either, though. So, like, you know what I mean? Right. And I know how my 16-year-old and my 19-year-old act. So,
yo,
I'm constantly, like, walking in the kitchen behind them and shit's still sitting out on the counter and they're like, oh, I forgot to put it away.
I'll say this. When I was, the summer that I graduated high school, I was 18. Mm-hmm. I worked at Pizza Hut.
Yeah.
I was not a disciplined kid. I was not a kid who was good at paying attention. Right? But I will say this. There was something about, yo, people got to eat this, that made me really, like, tune in to that job. You know what I mean? I was, I would occasionally, like, wash dishes and stuff, but mainly I would, like, prep pizzas and I would make the pizza dough.
Uh-huh.
And there was something about, like, yo, people got to put this in their body that made me, like, it made me really, it sounds, like, funny to say, but it really made me, like, step up into that job and really make sure shit was clean, make sure shit was, like, well taken care of, so much to the point our general manager, who was, like, if I was 18, she was probably, like, in her 30s.
Yeah.
She was, like, an older woman, you know, to me, older woman, and she was so gross, dog, and it offended me on, like, a moral level. She, people would get, like, the meat lovers or, like, veggie lovers pizzas, yeah, and she would sit there with her bare hands and, like, pick stuff off of people's pizzas. Every night, like, every, like, our busy nights were, like, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, you know, yeah, what I mean? A Sunday if, like, the Eagles were playing or some shit. Dog, she would take, like, people's buffalo wings. Like, people would get six in a box. People would bring back so many boxes of buffalo wings and be like, yo, y'all gave me five. And she'd be like, oh, my bad. You know, somebody must have messed up. That happened all the fucking time, because she would take people's wings and eat one of them and then send them back out on the line, which is dumb. Just replace the fucking wing.
Yeah.
Or make yourself a thing of wings.
Yeah.
She had a thing about picking off people's foods. And for me being like, you know, 18, messy room, don't pay attention, John, that shit offended me, dog. Like, and I would say stuff to her like, yo, that's not right. That's not cool. But yeah, what am I really going to do, you know, to the GM? So maybe, to your point, maybe McDonald's kids are doing it. I don't fucking know. Maybe they're maintaining standards. Who the hell knows?
When I transferred schools and I went to that vocational school after we, like, the whole crew broke up,
mm-hmm.
I worked in, they called it restaurant, they called it like hotel and restaurant management.
Right.
What I was a waiter for, like, the teachers. Mm. They had, like, a restaurant area that they served the teachers in, because they had, like, there was a restaurant management, then there was, like, the actual, like, cooking area, then there was a bakery. And mm-hmm. You were supposed to do all three. I conned my way out of that. But
word.
You did the restaurant. That's where I started. Like, your class was broken up, and I started in restaurant management. And like I said, you were like a waiter or waitress for the teachers. This one teacher really didn't like me, had a fucking big problem with me. For whatever reason, I never really figured out exactly why. Mm. But she ain't like me. And she accused me of spitting in her soup. Like, she had ordered soup.
What?
And I was a shitty, I wasn't a good waiter. So I just usually would just scoop the soup for everybody and shit. Because I didn't want to be taking nobody's order and carrying plates and shit. So I just was sitting there getting the soup. And so when they told me, oh, so-and-so wants this cup of soup. So I was like, all right. So I scooped the soup in there and took it over to her. She was like, you spitting this? And I was like, nah, what do you mean?
Yo, what?
And she was like, you spitting it. I saw you. And I was like, no, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, I ain't spitting your soup. Well, because my whole thing is, I wouldn't do shit to somebody's food that I wouldn't want done to mine.
Right. As somebody who knew you in that time, come on. That no, sound I wouldn't in your spit in nobody's soup.
Now, throw the soup on her, that would be something I would have did. Yeah, but I wouldn't spit in your soup, because for me, I couldn't get that idea. Like, I have one of those brains where it's I can't unsee shit.
Mm-hmm.
So as soon as I see it, that would have stayed for me to do it. The only thing I ever would have thought about afterwards was every time someone gave me food was like, yo, did they spit in this? Because I spit in that lady food. Like, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I have that kind of conscious and that brain that works that way. So there was no way I would have did that to her, because I'm like, yo, then all I would have thought about is somebody spitting my shit.
Right.
I was like, nah, I freaked out, because I'm like, yo, I didn't spit in you, because that shit is disgusting, man.
Yeah, what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, I don't fuck with, fucking with people's food would be not something I'd ever want to do.
Right.
No matter how, how much I didn't like them.
Yeah.
Jeez. You know what I mean? I know people who, you know, because most of our crew, we ain't eat no pork.
Nah.
And, I know people whose, girlfriends fed them pork.
Are you serious?
When they didn't eat it and shit. Yeah, yeah. I know people who did that shit happen to them. Yo, man. They would feed them pork and shit like that, even though they didn't eat it.
That's like the shit they do to you in jail. Yeah. Guantanamo or some shit.
Yeah,
that's awful.
Nah, dog. I can't. Food is something I don't fuck with people. Because, I don't know, man. I just never want my food fucked with.
Right.
I'm super picky with how my food is anyway. Really, the idea of somebody fucking with my food, yo. Terrible. Jesus. To have the idea in my head. Anytime I read about shit where, I forget what it was, this shit called, here in Philly, every time they expose, they list, the nasty restaurants.
Yeah, yeah. I can't think of what, I know what you mean.
Yeah, so, you'll see that shit, and, there's a spot uptown, that Checkers that's uptown.
Mm-hmm.
that used to essentially became Club McDonald's after Club McDonald's closed.
Off of, like the one near Broad? Like
yeah,
Broad,
it's right on Broad. Yeah, it's, yeah. So that was like when like bars or clubs would close, you drive up to that because like that's where it was open to like 4 a.m. so everybody mm-hmm. fucking would go there. So I read that the people, like the motherfuckers in there was like there was roaches in the milkshake machine and ooh. Shit like that. Dog, I've never gone back there because right. like in my brain, I've never been able to detach the fact that fucking joint had roaches in a machine.
Right.
You know what I mean? So
that's
like
awful.
All that kind, like the I forget the name of that spot. They had like it was like they were like, oh, they had mouse droppings near the sauces and shit. So like in my brain I was like, well, that ruins that for me because I'll never like in my brain I'll never separate that.
Yeah. There's a mouse shitting in y'all sauce.
Yeah, like I can't my dog, like that shit fucking with people's food, like that shit'll make me go like I don't eat out. I only eat at the crib.
Yeah. I gotta stop eating out, yo. I've been eating out, you know, like a motherfucker.
How you helping businesses, dog?
That's true. Yeah, I need to find like South Philly is
you could probably write it off as charitable donations right. for this year, like with this fucking shit.
Like fuck South Philly, because you know, a lot of like racists live here and shit. There's so much food around us.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Last night we went we gotta take a break. But last night we walked up the street to the corner and like I went to the Mexican market and got was that last night? Or it might have been the night before. I went across the street and got tacos and guacamole and shit, and Liz went to this place called Nick's. It's like an Italian. The Italian family runs it, but it's like a barbecue spot.
Okay. Oh yeah, I know what you're talking about. I've seen it when I've been down there. Yeah.
Right. I'm just like, man, we just got mad food. Just like walk up the street and get good. And I've both of their like foods are good. And they directly across the street from each other. There's another Mexican spot the next block over. It's crazy. That's why I'm fat. Live in South Philly. It get because like I walk up and down 3 flights of stairs, you know, every day.
Yeah,
I'm still big because I'm just eating mad food from around here.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Yeah, no, definitely. I've been doing decent with not ordering out. I mean, dog, it makes such a big difference in your pay, though, like in your money, yo.
I don't even want to speculate. I could go to Grubhub and look.
Yeah, I'm about to say Grubhub probably tracks that shit.
I don't even want to speculate the money I've dropped on Grubhub in like the past 4 months.
Well, that's what I was saying to my daughter because, like, I'm like, yo, your 4 for 4 is $15. Like, it's supposed to be $4. You spent $15 on it because you're getting it delivered.
Yeah. Oh, that's like you order something, the sandwich will be like $7. Grubhub will be like delivery fee is $3, but your total is like $21. That's like the price. I really honestly need to just start calling these motherfuckers.
Yeah.
Instead of going through Grubhub. But I'm like dumb, lazy. I'm usually on my computer and I just, yo, you want something?
It's easy. Yeah. It's convenience, dog. Convenience is a motherfucker, y'all.
Yeah. But we got a lot of shit to talk about. We can jump into a break and come right back. Talk about Chadwick Boseman, who passed away this week. Is fucking killing me right now to even think about it. But we're going to jump into a break. Come right back.
Yep.
So was it Friday night? Was it?
Yes, Friday night.
The actor Chadwick Boseman, probably most famously known for playing T'Challa in Black Panther, he passed away in his home in Los Angeles from colon cancer.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was diagnosed with stage 4 colon cancer 4 years ago.
Yeah. Well, actually, he was diagnosed with stage 3.
Oh, yeah.
And it became
stage
4.
Yeah. And yeah, and like in a, you know, everybody says like, oh, 2020, this is fucking crazy. There's been a lot of like I don't even think I fully processed like the Kobe Bryant shit yet. There's been a lot of like crazy just surprises and people leaving the planet, folks that, you know, that I've met personally. You know what I mean? Like the Malik B thing just happened. A brother, a brother named Jamerson, who used to live out here, who lived in L.A. He passed away like last week, I want to say. It's just been like famous people and like people that I've like met and known, who are like in our community that have just been leaving, and it seems like it's just been like a surprise. It's not like elders leaving.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Chadwick anytime, Boseman was... No, go ahead, go ahead.
No, I was gonna say anytime somebody relatively young passes like unexpectedly, it is always much more unexpected because it's fucking, you know, like you said, if it's an elder passing, like, you know, sometimes you're prepared for that because they're you know, they're getting older, they've had health issues and shit like that. Like, you know, no one even knew about. Like the public didn't know about the colon cancer thing with Chadwick.
Yeah, this cat was 43. I remember when I can't think of what they did, some kind of like, you know, pandemic thing where he like recorded a video from his home, and he looked sick. And I remember seeing it and being like, "Yo, I hope he's not sick."
I saw it, and I know like there was a ton of people like making fun of it and shit like that. I was like, well, I wonder if he got corona, because I hadn't seen anybody with coronavirus, so I didn't know how it truthfully affected you body wise. And I knew people were like, you know, well, maybe he's doing it for a role.
Yes, I did hear people say that.
Which, remember how 50 looked? You know,
shit was crazy. Yeah.
Yeah, so like 50 looked wild a few years back because of his shit, and he was doing that for a role. So like I could imagine, like, you know, oh, maybe he's doing this for a role, maybe he's, you know, playing the part of this type of person, so like he needs to lose the weight. Like if you ever seen the pictures of like Christian Bale when he was doing that movie The Machinist, like he looked crazy sick. Like, you know what I mean? So, like, yes, for him to pass at such a young age and, you know,
in his
only
prime.
Completely in his prime. In his prime. And, you know, to only be a few years older than we are. And, you know, this dude shot Black Panther. Like, the physical toll that movie probably took on his body while getting chemo. Like, he put on all that mass to be as big as he is in that movie to then, you know, be getting chemo at the same time. You know how hard that must have been? You lose weight when you get chemotherapy.
Dog, motherfuckers, I've heard people describe it like it makes you feel like you want to die.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? Jesus.
Yeah.
That's a strong motherfucker. Like, I understand, like, some people have come out since he's passed. You know, when famous or prominent people die, there's like takes and everybody has a take on it, and I have seen people reject the idea of like he worked through XYZ, because it's like, you know, they don't see like the honor in that shit. I won't make a judgment call on that, you know what I mean? That's a strong motherfucker regardless.
Yeah,
you know what
absolutely.
I mean? To do that shit, it's motherfuckers won't show up to work because they stomach hurt.
Yeah,
which, you know, that's valid too. The toll that radiation takes on your body, you know what I mean? The toll that cancer takes, even if he hadn't been doing chemo.
Yeah,
the toll that cancer itself takes on your body to be showing up and doing what he did, all these roles that he played. This motherfucker played James Brown, Black Panther, Thurgood Marshall. You know
Jackie
what I'm
Robinson.
Saying? Jackie Robinson. You know what I mean? The fact that he was just like knocking down these roles and like doing his craft, it's just, I couldn't imagine what he was struggling with in his mind and in his spirit when that shit, when he was doing all of that.
Yeah. My daughter was the first one to tell me, because I was ignoring the world. I bought Madden, and I was just playing Madden, and you know, just ignoring the world. My phone, like, I wasn't like, oh, I'm gonna play the game and scroll Twitter at the same time. Like, none of that shit. I was completely ignoring the world. My phone was off the other side of the room, and it went off. So I was like, oh, let me check the text message, because it was like, you know, like midnight or some shit. Like, it was kind of late. So I'm like, who's texting me at this time? Because I have no life. So, you know, my phone's the Sahara, for real, for real. So I'm like, oh, like, this is like, you know, not doing, I'm not like, who the fuck's texting me? So I'm like, oh, must be, maybe it's an emergency. So I look, and it was my daughter, and she's like, chat. She said Black Panther just died. And I was like, huh?
Yeah.
And so the first thing I did was like, let me check, because she may be getting this from some, you know, who knows where she saw, you know, she might have saw this on fucking Instagram and some people, somebody's, you know, there's always those kind of crazy stories.
Yeah, hoax or some shit.
Yeah, so I'm like, let me check. So I pulled it up. I pulled up Twitter, and like, it's not like I'm going to the most reliable news source in the world. But I checked the trending stuff to see where that story's coming from. You know what I mean? Not like I'm like, yo, let me just see what random dude text that Chadwick Boseman passed. And then I saw it, and coming from like, you know, reputable news source, and I saw like the statement from his account. So somebody had made the statement from his account, and like just like two, like a minute later, my son texted me, who was just in the other room, and was like, yo, Chadwick Boseman died. So I'm like having a discussion with both of them at the same time on different text lines, being like, yeah, I just read it. You know, apparently he had colon cancer. You know, he was only 43, blah, 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 blah. And like, you know, they're both like broke up about it. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
you know, I know like there's going to be, shout out to Ambush, because he wrote this. And it's true. Like, he was like, yo, don't get fucking agitated from the racists who are going to, like, post dumb shit during this time. Right? And, like, the idea that, like, oh, well, you know, people are putting, like, that was, like, you know, Black Panther was a movie and blah, blah, blah. Like, my kids love Marvel. Like, love the Marvel movies and shit like that. Love these joints.
Right.
We go see every one of them. Like, we ain't missed one. And they are, you know, to get the chance to see see like heroes that look like them on a screen,
right?
When you know you've had all these, you know, 20 some movies and there's not a lot of it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that shit's important.
Yeah, like that representation is huge. Like I saw it in my daughter, my youngest daughter, when we saw Wonder Woman. Right. Like, to see a woman be the lead character in her own movie. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah.
Kicking ass and shit.
Yeah. And, like, be the driving force in her own story.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, the way they did Black Panther and having, like, you know, the representation. And it's just, you know, it's majority a black film. Like, you know,
not
there's
colonized.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And so to lose that person and a driving force behind that, that's hard, man. That's a hard loss. And it's why it's such impactful loss. Like, you know, listen, man, for years they didn't make these movies because they were like, yo, this isn't going to make money.
Right. Right.
And, you know, aside from fucking Avengers, it's made, you know, besides those movies, he's made the most, like, Black Panther made the most money.
Yeah, highest grossing joint.
Yeah.
And who knows, because I know they were working on Black Panther 2, but even outside of Black Panther, who knows what this cat would have done?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I know he was supposed to be doing the first Black Samurai movie.
Right, right, right. You know what I mean? It's crazy to me to think about just leaving the earth in your 40s. You know what I mean? Like, I think about, like, Fife. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Somebody who, you know, you could explore your craft even more and even beyond your craft and music making and film and all of that, be with your family. I couldn't imagine losing my leaving my family in my 40s. I feel like I am really just hitting my stride now.
Dog, same thing.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, I feel comfortable with who I am as a person in the last few years.
Yeah.
Way more than I did, like, for 30 of it. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the idea of being, like, how I'm going to feel about myself in the next, like, 5 years, and then that being over with.
Right.
Like, I feel like I'm just kind of getting started.
Yeah. Like, I could really rock out with this shit. The feeling I have now, man, give me 40, 50 more years of this shit. Like, I understand people don't want to die or whatever. But, like, let me feel how I feel. And shit's growing like it's been growing, and I get to live this out to, like, I'm an old man. I have no regrets. 43 years old, man. That shit, like, it's no, that's no age at all. You, like, no. you still a baby in the grand scheme of things.
You have so much more to do, like, in the world.
Yeah.
And, like, having a son that is 19 years old makes me realize how fucking dumb you are. And that's not a, like, that's not a shot at my son.
Right, right.
But, like, how much of a fucking baby deer you still are at that age.
Yeah.
And, like, how much I didn't know when I was 19. Like, knowing what I know now, looking back on how I was at 19, but also being able to see it through, like, my son, going, like, oh, you don't have shit figured out when you're in your 20s, but you think you know the world.
Right, right.
You know what I mean?
I think my 30s, I really could, like, look back and be like, oh, when I was, like, 20, I didn't know what the fuck was going on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I really thought I started, like, in my 30s, like, catching on, you know?
Yeah,
what I mean?
Absolutely. I think I evolved more of as a human being and, you know, became way more. I thought of, like, having kids helped me do this, but, like, I thought way about other people way more.
Right. Right.
Like, my late 20s and early 30s is where, like, my concern for, like, the rest of the world became more important.
Yeah.
You know, I've talked about this before, but, like, we had a friend of ours who struggled with drug addiction. And, like, I look back and go, fucking, how self-centered was I that I didn't recognize his struggles?
Yeah. Or even not even be able to, speaking for me, not even be able to, like, fully show up
for your absolutely. Friend
because you're still, like, in that, you know, selfish kind of frame of mind.
Yeah. Like, why wasn't I able to be, I wasn't even, like, concerned with him. My concern was myself.
Yeah.
And that's somebody who I loved and cared about and, like, you know, wasn't in a situation where it was like, oh, if he would have called me, I'd ignored him. It was just like, I just didn't think about it. I had a friend call me, like the day before or the, you know, hours before he attempted suicide.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yo, I can't talk right now.
Yep.
And, like, just didn't talk to that person. And that person attempted suicide. And, like, how much that, like, affects me in the idea of going forward where I'm like, you know, fuck, I was a self-centered person. Like, you know what I mean? And, like, you know, I didn't know he was going to commit suicide after that. Like, I, you know, attempt suicide after that. I didn't know that. But, right. like, I could hear my friend be, you know, hurt and not, you know, not recognize it enough because I just was in my own head too much.
Yeah. I feel like I've done that, too. You know
what
I mean?
Yeah, I think it's... Go ahead. I don't mean to cut you off.
It's just, like, not been there. When I easily could have, but I just had my own shit going on.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's a thing of, like just being, as you get older, you just learn to like open your head more. I would hope you do. Like, you know what I mean?
You oughta.
Yeah. I mean, cause if you're the same person you were 10 years ago, then you have it like, you know, life is fucked up. Yeah, And like, just to be like, yo, you were so, oh, he was only, you know, a few years older than us and had so much more to do as a person, like grow as a person and become this as a person.
Yeah.
You know, grateful for the impact that he was able to make in just such a short amount of time.
Yeah. It's like he, not to say he came out of nowhere, but it's like, you know, one day he wasn't the guy. Yeah. And then, like, it seemed like a light hit, and he was, like, in everything and, like, yeah, killing it, you know?
Yeah, and that's crazy. It's an awesome thing that, you know, we all got to share in that. And that, you know, he, you know, even though he wasn't able to give us more, he gave everything. He, like, what we can take away from this is that, you know, he had this diagnosis for 4 years and battled it for 4 years, and he gave fucking 1,000%, man.
Yeah. It puts all his shit, his work,
in different perspective.
Yeah. And his words too, because he was always real, like real earnest. Like, I remember when he was talking about filming Black Panther and talking about, like, some kids that had reached out to him that had cancer.
Yeah.
And he was so earnest. And I remember watching that shit when it happened. I was like, man, this is a thorough dude.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's a whole other dimension to this shit that I'm not even thinking of. He talked to these kids. They were telling him they loved Black Panther, and they passed away. You know what I mean? I don't know if they passed before it came out or if they got to see it, but they passed away, these kids that he's talking about, from cancer. And he's, like, pouring it all out. And now I'm watching the shit like, oh, it makes total sense why he, you know, connected with it on that level. Outside of him being, you know, obviously, like, a beautiful person from, you know, everybody's, you know, all the people have been talking about him since. You know what I mean? Talking about, like, his character and shit.
Yeah, I was watching the Jimmy Fallon thing where, like, they had, like, they were having people come out of the movie and, like, talk to, well, they were telling them they were recording a video for, that was going to get shown to Chadwick, and, like, he was, like, behind the screen, so he would pop out and, like, surprise these people. And just hearing people talk about, like, the impact that the movie had made for them and, like, his role and him coming to pop out and do that kind of stuff. And I know, like, a lot of that shit is like, oh, well, you know, a lot of, you know, you're doing this promotion, this, that, and the third.
Right.
But, like, he genuinely seemed to understand to the impact that this was, that this had and was.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a shame. He was a relatively really, really young man, and had a lot of life left to live.
Right. And,
you know, fucking cancer.
Yeah.
Took that shit away.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, this shit, like, it just makes me sad. It's just like a bummer, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
To, like, see it happen. Rest in peace, Chadwick Boseman, you know what I'm saying? Much love to, like, his family. I know his family, you know, I don't even like to say, like, they probably came to grips with it. How the fuck you come to grips with this motherfucker's gonna leave, you know, at such a young age? But love to his family and everybody that knew him, everybody that's, like, mourning him, who didn't know him, you know what I mean? One day, as a species, we'll get past this cancer shit. But today ain't the day, unfortunately.
Yeah, rest in peace, Chadwick, and much love to his family.
Yeah.
And to everyone out there who's, like, struggling with it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Also, stop taking pictures of your kids crying, telling them, and then take pictures of them crying.
And, you know, I'm real, live and let live.
Yeah.
You know, but, yeah, some of y'all are like, it looks like people are going, yo, Black Panther died. And, like, the kids are like, what? They're like, or it's either one of two things. It's like, yo, Black Panther died. What? And people take pictures of the kid, or it's like, all right, we're going to set up all the little toys.
Yeah.
And then we're going to do like a little photo. It's a little odd. It's a little odd.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not the type of person who, you know, it's like, you don't do this, or you don't do that.
It look a little weird
that y'all are doing that.
Yeah, it's some of it seems like it's for internet clout.
Right. But yeah,
but
we can
mourn how you mourn.
Hop into a break. You want to talk about this Wu-Tang thing? Like
yeah.
Take a break, talk about the Wu thing real quick, and then go into new music?
New music, yeah, it works.
Word. Boom, right back at it, moving quick. So apparently you added this to the doc, and I think I saw something about it. They're making a film about the lost Wu album debacle. Is that what this shit is about?
Yeah, it's about that Once Upon a Time in Shaolin, the joint that was sold to Martin Shirecki or however you say that sucker name.
Yeah, yeah. You're not pronouncing your name right, B.
Yeah. It's a basically a documentary. Netflix, I guess, optioned it. First of all, if you look through Netflix right now, I think the RZA is like partially programming it, because there's like a million kung fu flicks that are like Shaolin in the name right now.
I'm going to say this. I'm going to edit it out. You know that.
Yeah.
Taking over.
Yeah. Yeah.
God damn.
Apparently it's gonna be a documentary about that, which is essentially just like a Silver Rings like compilation album, right?
Yeah, from somebody, and I hope this person who wrote this article and did all of this research. I can't remember the person's name, but I hope that they bring this person on as a consultant for this fucking show. I think it started as a Reddit thread that somebody like wrote about, but apparently Silver Rings had been working for years buying verses from every member of the clan.
Yes.
They did not know. They thought that it was going to be used for a Silver Rings album. They charged him Silver Rings rates.
Yeah.
Meth has spoken out about this. I think Ghost
has also, too. I've seen the Ghost talk about it, yeah.
You know what I mean? So he's like, they're like, all right, whatever, you give me, you know, whatever money, and I'll knock out a 16 for a Silver Rings verse. He put this whole thing together, hollered at RZA, and was like, all right, boom, this is gonna be a Wu album. So from what I understood, they came up with this whole idea that this was a lost Wu album that had been made over the years, but really it was created under the initial premise that it was a Silver Rings compilation album,
yeah,
so to speak. Like how Marley used to do with the Juice Crew. He would make, you know, Craig G song over here. You got, you know, Shantae and Shan over here. You know what I mean? So it wasn't created as a Wu record. It was, the narrative was kind of sold to the public that it was a lost Wu-Tang record, and people were going crazy about it. And then they decided not to release it, that they were going to put it in a museum, and you would have to go to the museum to hear the record. So it was crazy. Every Wu head that I know, shout out to my man Steve, was not down with the program. They like, wait, y'all not going to put this shit out? Y'all just going, having in museums, it's like classist in a way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But it was just a whole weird thing. And then Martin Shkreli, they put it up for auction. Martin Shkreli bought the shit, however you say this nigga name. He bought it. You know, there was like a clause written in that the Wu could steal it back.
Yeah, I was about to say, isn't it like...
with Bill Murray.
Yeah, I was about to say, isn't it like Ghostface say like, yo, he's gonna hire Bill Murray to like steal it back or some shit, like, wow.
Yeah, they said that apparently like that was like a clause in like the contract to like transfer the sale, that the Wu had the right to like steal it back. It was all like really strange, You know what I mean? I love that they're doing a documentary about it. I hope it's not like a fluff piece documentary.
Yeah, I hope
it's like a real actual what actually happened.
Yeah, if they need an editor, I'll edit that documentary for them. I'm interested to see. I want it to be like Fyre Festival.
Right, for like lost rap albums.
Yeah. Yeah, because whatever the one that was on Hulu, because I think that was the better one in my opinion, because it wasn't the one that was made by one of the companies that was fucking
right
part of the Fyre Festival. I would love for it to be like that because I thought that was really interesting. Mm-hmm. I'm interested to see it. I think this could be, especially if they can get if Wu members agree to be a part of it and talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
Cause I know a lot of them don't like the whole aspect that it was like essentially like a scam from Silver Rings.
Right.
So,
bring them in to talk about that shit.
Yeah. I would love to get all that. Like I'm hoping it is a independent piece and not like from one direction essentially. Like, you know what I mean?
Right. I understand shit will be biased. Like,
I don't think
that human beings can be generally like unbiased,
or
at least totally unbiased. But you know, I don't. Like I said, I don't want it to be a fluff piece.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, I think you can. You know, everything is slanted. You know, from whoever creates it.
Yeah.
And you know, working on a documentary, I can tell you that you can make the story how you want it to look by what you choose, whatever you choose visually, and then you know you write the story around it. So there's definitely ways to manipulate and slant things, but I would like it just to be from like a somewhat independent area. That way you're not, like you say, getting a fluff piece about like the Silver Rings album.
Right.
Also, fuck the farmer, bro. He paid $1 million for a Silver Rings album.
He would. He looked like a fucking Silver Rings fan. This nigga out of here.
I guess we could start talking about new music for the week, though.
Yeah, absolutely. I listened to the new Lox album.
Word.
Living Off Experience.
Yeah, I only listened to a couple of tracks off it. I ain't listened to the whole thing yet.
It's pretty solid. They struggle sometimes.
Yeah, what I found is beat-wise from the stuff that I heard, it was a lot better than other stuff I've heard from them.
Yeah, that's all, you know, I won't say that's all it is. In the case of the Lox, that's really all you need because, like, the three of them are great.
Yes,
you know what
exactly.
I mean? And it's interesting to me listening to this shit. When the Lox came out, it was almost universally said that Sheik was like the weakest member, right?
Yeah.
Sheik on this album is killing it. But really for the last few years, Sheik has been like, you know, like really elevating his shit. Like it's at the point now where I love, you know, all three of them in their own unique ways. It's at the point now where like I'm waiting for Sheik to come on.
Yeah. I don't think there's a weak link.
I
think Sheik has definitely gotten better. I think that, like, listen, I'll be honest with you. I've said this before on the podcast. For each one's first solo record, Sheik's, I think, Walking with Gorilla, I forget what it's called, like Silverback Gorilla or some shit like that. Whatever Sheik's first record is the best solo album from them, as far as like their first solo record,
first run, yeah.
Because and I think part of it was because there wasn't expectation, like you know what I mean, you know, of course, Kiss shit was like, yo, this is really important, and there was an investment to be like, yo, this needs to be commercially viable, so like they were like, yo, let's get Bone Crusher on a track,
right?
And you know what I mean, like, yo, this. You know, we need this to sound like a Ludacris record. So, like, you know what I mean? So, like, there was all these different things. Yo, you got to have a commercial single. You got to do this.
Yeah. Kiss was trying to make them party records.
Yeah. You know, that's how you get Knock Yourself Out, which I love. But, like,
Knock Yourself Out is the shit.
you know, that's how you get those records where, like, Sheik was like, yo, I'm just going to give, like, go do raw music. You know what I mean?
He's shining on this shit. All of them are. Like, they're, I'll like, at this point, you know, hip-hop always has, like, the age thing to contend with. And people, oh, we hear Lux. I'll listen to these motherfuckers.
Yeah.
They pens are crazy. They have crazy presence on the mic. You're never, like, bored listening to them. Like, this shit is dope. You know what I mean? Like, there's some tracks
Styles
like,
throwing in the Styles throwing in a juice reference. You know what I mean?
Right. Like, come on, dog. Styles be on Twitter cussing niggas out and telling them to drink juice and water and build their immune system. Like, how do you not love that?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That shit, man. This shit. They're like killing this shit. It comes right out the gate. It's the first fucking song. Gave It to Him.
Yeah.
That shit is hard. The song Thick of the Locks with Westside Gunn is on the hook and Benny is on it.
Fucking that song is unbelievable. Large Pro on the beat.
Large Pro, real shit. And I can't wait for somebody to interview him about this. I swear Large Pro pulled out an old beat from like 94 out the SP 1200 and gave it to these niggas. Like, he ain't make that beat on no computer. You know what I mean? He pulled some old shit. He pulled an old floppy disk out and made that shit, and it's like hard as nails.
Yeah.
And I like West Side just coming in doing the hook. This shit is fucking ill.
Yeah, it's a really, what I heard like 5 songs off of it.
Yeah.
The production is so much better than I've heard in the last couple of joints that they used. They also had, like, the songs that I heard, they didn't go get, like, their homie who can sing slightly to do hooks.
On the hook, yeah.
You know, they really, this was, like, a really good put-together record from what I heard so far. I'm gonna finish listening to it this week. I just didn't get a chance. Like, had a bunch of shit going on.
Yeah.
So I didn't get a chance to really sit with it. I like the joint with X, too. I heard that record too, so I like to join with X. Although, like, is it just me? X voice sounds a little different, right?
It does. It sounds, to me on this record, it sounded like it's more closer to his speaking voice.
Yeah. Scratchier. Yeah. It's a scratchier voice. Yeah.
Yeah. It did sound different. I had to listen again to really hone in, but yeah, I noticed that too. Like, it jumped out at me. X sound different on this joint, but you know, motherfucker been making records.
Yeah, it was like when I first heard Beans, like, recently. Like, you know what I mean? And I was just like, wow, his voice is, like, really different.
Did Beans' voice come back fully?
I don't know. I don't know.
Why y'all niggas get Beans on a record? I want to hear what Beans sound like now.
Yeah. Yeah,
because he was whispering at one point.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Somebody shot him. He lost a part of his lung or some shit.
Yeah, so I think he was, like, learning to breathe. You know, listen, man, fucking rapping is really hard on your breath, you know?
Mm-hmm. Shit, for real.
I listened to, hold on, I'm pulling it up because I want to get this song title right.
Mm-hmm.
I checked out this artist named Briggs. I brought him up a while back. He's an indigenous artist from Australia.
Mm-hmm.
He's a rapper from Australia. He's a writer too, like a comedic writer. He wrote on I think it's called Disenchanted, that from Matt Groening on Netflix. He was a writer on that. EP, it's called Always Was. Really dope. I really dig it. The joint Extra Extra, which is the one I talked about before.
Mm-hmm.
There's a track called Go to War, featuring Thelma Plum. That's real dope. That's Money is really dope. And this song, like, might replace the Being Kicked In as my morning joint.
Yeah.
It's called Good Morning. And it's one of those joints. Remember was it Chocolicious joint? Was that, who was the, what's the name of that song? Make You Feel That Way. Feel That Way.
Oh, yeah. Blackalicious.
Blackalicious, yeah. This kind of has that same vibe.
Hmm.
as that song. Like, it kind of feels good to listen to it. And yeah, it's like, makes you, like, you know, want to get up into, like, you know what I mean? Like, this track is really like that. I really, really, really loved Good Morning. And, you know, on my mornings when I don't want to make it feel like the bean kicked in, I think I'm going to listen to this instead.
Right.
But yeah, I would definitely say check this out. Always Was by Briggs. The first couple of tracks, Apollo and Sox Hat, his accent is like pretty heavy, like his Australian accent. Mm-hmm. I listen to like three people from Australia twice a week, if not more. So I'm like on podcasts. Mm-hmm. So I'm super used to the accent at this point. Yeah. It does it. Yeah, like my ear is fine for it. I could see how people be like, yo, it's hard to listen to this accent. Like I said, my kids won't even listen to grime rappers. So, you know what I mean? But I really, really, really dig this dude. And I want to listen to more of his stuff. And so I definitely suggest checking out Always Was by Briggs. Living Off Experience by The Lox is a really good record, too. So definitely check that out. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't really talk about records we don't like on here.
Right,
That's why we're not talking about No Ceilings from Lil Wayne. I didn't even listen to it. I'm bullshitting. So some good music this week. While you're listening to this podcast in Apple Podcast app, you can rate and review us right there. Yep. It's really simple. Give us 5 stars. We need some more reviews. It helps us out. If not, just tell a friend to tell a friend. You can find the podcast at Serious Rap Shit on Instagram and Twitter. You're John the Liberator on Instagram and Twitter. Mm-hmm. I am Josh. I'm not Josh anything. I'm Indy_SRS on Instagram and Twitter. That's Indy_SRS. We have the Abolish Ice hoodies and t-shirts available on Incense Trap and Yoga. Part of shout out to Incense Trap and Yoga. Part of the proceeds go to helping migrant families separated at the border. Anything else?
No, thank y'all for rocking with us as always. Rest in peace to Chadwick Boseman. And yes. Now I think we're out.
Yeah, I think we're out of here. Peace.
Peace.
Serious Rap Shit is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, check out the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get podcasts.